Hi everyone, you are listening to the Daily Tales and this is your host Ansi. Welcome to the episode 2. I believe every human being living on the planet faces a lot of obstacles and hardships in their everyday life, which will be quite inspirational when we get to hear it. Today I am going to narrate you a real life story about Padmabhushan Mr. Nambinarayanan. Padmabhushan Mr. Nambinarayanan was born on 12th December 1941. He was the first boy in their family after four girls. He loved mathematics as a child and topped in his school studies. He joined Thyagaraja College of Engineering, Madurai after schooling. After a few months of joining college, he lost his father, and at this timeline of his life, he understood he was not from a very good financially fit family. Growing up, Mr. Narayanan never felt his father struggling. He was provided with everything he wanted, like the good education and good food. Now at the age of 19, he realized his responsibilities, which made his dreams of getting an engineering degree out of focus. Thanks to his sisters who stood by him to complete his education. After completing the degree, he wanted to apply for Royal Naval Engineering College, Princeton and Caltech. He was able to get admit letters from Princeton and Caltech, but something inside him told that it would be better for him to stay near his mother. He took a trainee assistant engineer job in a sugar factory. He excelled in his job in such a way he got promoted in a short span of time before even completing the training period. One day he got a telegram that read his mother was serious, so he applied for leave, which got declined. With no other choice, he left the job and took care of his mother. When he was checking on monthly groceries, he saw one item was wrapped in a newspaper and saw a two-column advertisement which read as, Tumba Equatorial Rocket Launching Station in Trivandrum was inviting applications for the post of Technical Assistant for Design. He was eligible for every criteria. On September 12, 1966, he was offered a job with India's first space science team. While working in ISRO, he excelled in his job. After some time, he really wanted to study about liquid propulsion system. So he applied to the Ivy League Institute, Princeton University, and he also got the offer. While he was studying in Princeton, he got an opportunity to work with NASA, and he also completed his degree within 10 months, and he was offered with a job and also citizenship from America, which he declined on the advice of his mentor, Mr. Vikram Sarabhai. He started working crazily on the liquid engine concept, which he strongly believed would make ISRO meet success in its missions. But he was not quite supported by his seniors, so he thought of resigning his job. But Mr. Satish Dhawan tore his letter of resignation and asked him to collaborate with any country and develop the engine concept. A year later, he left for Vernon with 60-odd Indian scientists to work in collaboration with the French to develop Viking Vikas engine. They went there and conquered the research with their abilities. They were the unsung heroes who did exemplary work to make the nation proud, but didn't get any recognition in the name of fame or money. The engine of his dreams was named Vikas. This man had crazy passion and a wonderful vision for ISRO that started to come for an action only because of his stubborn nature, or to put in a correct word, perseverance. After all, having the battle of inside politics in his office and convincing the people above him. In later part of time, when the launch pads of the space centers were created, he also started putting forward his idea about cryogenic engines. When everything was going well, he was falsely implicated in a ISRO spy case and got arrested in November 1994. A CBI inquiry later found the case to be false, but all through the years of proving his innocence, he lost his time of his life. The worst part is that he could not make his further visions of ISRO come into reality. He got shocked when he was arrested for selling India's rocket science secret to another country. Initially, he was tortured and threatened by the Intelligence Bureau officials, asking him to accept the false charges that they have fabricated against him. He was kept shorted with the same questions, that why did he sell the secrets? To prove them that he did nothing wrong, he stood for 30 hours without food and water. After 30 hours of standing sleepless, he got collapsed. He was given a treatment by a doctor and was found to be bleeding in neck, torso and head. After IB officials, he got investigated by the CBI officers, and also the court proceedings started. Throughout the investigations and court proceedings, he was beaten physically and mentally tortured. He was put into a prison. On the other hand, his son, daughter and wife were mentally depressed of not knowing what was happening around him. After 50 days in captivity, including 27 days in prison, he was to be released in bail on 19th January 1995. He was considered a traitor and got humiliated by the public. He thought stepping out of jail would make him feel better, but he was slowly giving up and got exhausted, making him to think if it was worth the fight, thanks to his daughter who gave him the courage to fight back. After long hurdle, CBI gave reports which clearly indicated all the charges were false against him, and it also got accepted in court proceeding. It had sent shivers down the spine of IB officials. So an inspector filed an appeal on Supreme Court. Meanwhile, Mr. Nambi was reinstated in his job and decided to take a legal battle on the government and its khaki police. He took for a legal battle in the Supreme Court, and the judgment came on 29th April 1998. He won the case. Later on, he was given the Padma Bhushan Award. I barely remember him to be a person I saw on a primetime news when it was getting wrapped up. News about him was not quite highlighted. When I was in search for a book to read, I came across his autobiographic book, Ready to Fire. Later on, it became very special to me. I would recommend you all to go out and purchase this book and read it. Or else you can also expect the release of Rocketry movie, which is being written and directed by R. Madhavan. And this film is based on the autobiography book of Mr. Nambi Narayanan. And I want to share my favorite quote from his book, which is, "Mathematicians think they can solve problems, and then life intervenes with absurd equation and cruel calculations. Being good at mathematics made me think I can anticipate, encounter, and solve any problems. As for the unsolvable ones, I knew there can't be an absolute solution, hence we should seek alternatives. This had kept me in good stead as a student, but fate did intervene in different ways, sometimes taking me to the level of confidence that bordered on arrogance at others, to black holes of emotions, where suicide was a logical end, and then to a measured state of optimism, courageous fight back, and composed indifference. Some call it survival kit of a spy, but I call it a life." So today this is the narration of a real life story. Hope you enjoyed it. And now we are going to enter into our segment, which is Have You Ever Wondered? Today we are going to see about the dying riverbanks in India. From my very childhood, whenever I got to see those documentaries of Kumbh Mela or dumping of dead bodies along the river Ganges, dumping of dusts, wastes and any other kind of littering along the coastal lines, I would wonder why. I mean, seriously, why? No offense to the religious beliefs or faith, but the Ganges are rich with biodiversity and it's the resource of drinking water which can feed about 500 million people, and its state now is a sewage. The leather industries along with the banks of river has polluted in a very bad manner. Whenever I see those documentaries, it really causes a deep thinking that how our country like India has produced topmost CEOs for international companies and most prominent leaders around the world, and we are considered to be the youngest country in the world with a lot of youth people. We are continuously polluting the river banks and beach and coastal lines. And the worst part is that COVID-19 affected bodies were found floating on the rivers. Can you imagine it? That is our resource of drinking water. Parallelly, we also have to support the communities and organizations doing an efficient work in cleaning those river banks and coastal lines. Beach Please is the Mumbai-based organization or youth team work committee. They clean up the river banks and beach coastal line during weekend, and they are still doing it. They have been also recognized by the United Nations India for their work. Maybe we can also play our part of doing something important, which is, as being a citizen of India, the Constitution gives us a lot of rights. Right to freedom, right to write, right for speech and everything, which is a liberation. But being along with the rights, we also have some duties as a citizen of India, which is to keep our country clean, safe and hygiene. Thank you so much for listening to the Daily Tales. If you have any reviews that you can send me, you can message me to my Insta page, The Daily Tales. And if you want to email me, you can have the email information from my Insta page itself. So let's just meet us in the next episode. Until then, take care, stay safe. Bye.